Hello there, North Carolina. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, once again welcoming you to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters with Doug and Linda has been providing you with a personal financial hotline for all of your questions about investments, estate planning, tax planning, money management, and retirement planning for over 20 years. And again, with me as usual tonight is my wife, Linda, who works with me in our firm, Lewis Financial Management.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Doug and I are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing investment in financial advice since 1983.
For over 20 years, we've been answering your questions on the WPTF phone lines. They are your questions and our answers.
So sit back and enjoy, or if you're free, call us tonight on the open lines. We'll take your calls anytime during the next hour. You're free to call in and ask any financial question about your own personal financial planning. Call us at 860-9783, that's 860-WPTF. Or you can call us toll-free long distance at 1-800-662-7979.
Well, financial planning is everyone's business, and still for most folks, money matters are just a big puzzle. Folks have questions about planning for retirement, planning for a child's college education. They don't know the difference between financial planning and money management. They want to know a lot these days. They want to know what's a mutual fund, what's a limited partnership, what's a REIT, what's a will, what's a living will. And yes, it really can confuse you, but you're not alone. Because in a world crowded with new investments, changing tax laws, rapidly evolving insurance products, and volatile economic cycles, more and more people are looking for clear direction in their financial lives. And yet, unfortunately, the busier and the more successful they are, the less time they have to sort out their financial affairs. And people are asking, is there any solution?
Well, yes, Doug, there certainly is a solution. Out of this increasingly complicated financial environment has come a new breed of professionals that are trying to solve people's money puzzles. And that's the Certified Financial Planner.
It's the Certified Financial Planner who offers something that people don't get from the traditional stockbroker, money manager, accountant, insurance agent, or bank trust officer. And that's a way to consolidate all aspects of people's financial affairs into one financial plan. It's the Certified Financial Planner who knows how to pull together all six areas of a client's financial life.
Doug, I think for many people, the first area of financial planning is cash flow planning, with questions about their emergency fund, their mortgage, their credit cards, and reducing their debt.
Well, yes, Linda, and yet for many people, the second area of financial planning is retirement planning. Those who are working want to know how to compute what they'll need to live on during retirement and how much they should be saving for retirement. They want to know what investments they should choose from the choices in their company's 401k plan. Others are retiring and have received a lump sum payout option from their company's retirement plan, and they want to know, should they take it? And if so, how should they invest it?
Well, Doug, the third area of financial planning that must be dealt with is estate planning. For most people, over their working years, their estate has grown. How can they reduce their estate taxes? And they wonder, are their simple wills sufficient, or maybe they should be considering the complicated world of trusts?
If that's the third area, Linda, the fourth area of financial planning cannot be overlooked. This is tax planning. People are interested in both tax reduction strategies and tax reduction investments, home mortgage interest, charitable giving, tax shelters, tax-free bonds, questions about capital gains taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and how to sell real estate tax-free using trusts. What a confusion.
Well, Doug, we can't forget the fifth area of financial planning, which is insurance planning. How much life insurance does a family really need? Do they have too little insurance or maybe too much insurance? Should they have whole life, term, or universal? Should they have long-term nursing care coverage?
You're right, Lynn. And of course, the sixth and most important area of financial planning is investment planning. Here, the questions never stop. What's the best way to diversify my investments? Is now a safe time to invest in stocks? What about bonds? What kind of stock mutual funds, bond mutual funds, equipment leasing partnerships, REITs, CDs, gold, annuities?
So, Doug, it seems that at last it's time for people to understand that a certified financial planner is really the only one who can tie together all six parts of their financial puzzle. And to you out there listening, if you've got a question on your mind about cash flow planning, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, insurance, or investments, call us now on the open lines and we'll answer your financial planning questions. Those numbers to call are 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out of towners, call us toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you just want to sit back and listen to the callers through the years, welcome to the show.
Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management. Investment products through HBEC Inc. HBEC Inc. and Lewis Financial Management are not related entities.
Well, it's a chilly night.
Linda, you know, I am just considering.
It's actually winter, I think, isn't it?
I think it's arrived. I don't know. Between the pansies in full bloom and the
Well, there was a
heavy gust. Were they the crocuses? What were those yellow flowers?
Daffodils.
The daffodils. I think they're very confused. A lot of confusion happening. Yesterday, I'm riding around my convertible top down in historic Oakwood, and today I've got the heat blasting in the car. We don't know what's happening. Anyway.
Yeah, I felt a big gust of wind yesterday when I was over at Costco. My goodness. But anyway, it is winter. It's still winter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Doug, there was an interesting article about, it was entitled Crossing a Golden Barrier. What does that mean?
Well, you know, here we are. It's 2012. 2008 is getting farther and farther behind us. A lot of people are still wondering, panicked about, or remembering the panic of 2008. And then suddenly they see that the year 2012 is starting to be very good. And some investors who are worrying that stocks, you know, might be ready to lose steam after a long, strong run are planning their hopes. But the problem is, I wouldn't even say the problem, the indicator of this thing called a golden cross has hit the news. Now, I have to tell you, I don't believe in a golden cross. It's a technical analysis that indicates that we are ready for a very strong stock market this year. Tech books on technical analysis take the 50-day moving average, and when it goes below the 200-day moving average, then they say this points to a track record as an indicator of higher stock prices in the next 12 months, and they say that we have just hit a golden cross. Now, I don't believe in that, but I happened to take a look at the statistics that they had in the article, and indeed, out of 17 times since 1975 when this golden cross has occurred, the next 12 months have been very strong. They gave statistics of 18%, then 3%, then 14%, then 38%, and 12%. All these were the following 12 months. And if indeed they're correct, that means we have good news for investors in 2012. And yeah, I feel good. I feel we've got a lot of good. I certainly think, you know, if Warren Buffett can invest $100 million in IBM, he knows something is not so bad, right?
Even though the events and the calamities and the political events are making the market move up and down, and job loss and job creation, I mean, it's just so many issues, and yet it is good news. And I think for most of our listeners, Doug, it's important for people to address their own personal situation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk in the media. People get confused, get overwhelmed by so much that's talked about with regard to money. But the bottom line is, what about my own situation?
And that's exactly right, Linda. We need to focus not so much on the big picture, even if the big picture is good news right now, and I believe it is good, but we don't need to focus on the big picture. That's called macroeconomics. We need to focus on the microeconomics, which is really What about my financial planning? What about my financial independence feasibility? What about my tax situation? And all those, what about my? And that's very different than looking at the big picture.
Addressing your own personal situation.
That's right.
And I think even the article said there's a lot to be excited about. Whether or not this is technical analysis or fundamental analysis, you know, there is a lot to be excited about. The numbers are there. Things are up.
That's right. And the consumer optimism is growing and growing. People are willing to spend more money. Unemployment, we may disagree with the fact that almost 9% is good news, but to some, it's dropped from what it was before. A lot of good news indicators are out there. So, yeah, I'm looking for a good year for our clients, at least. I really am.
You're listening to Money Matters on News Radio 680 WPTF. And thank you for joining us. If you've got a question on your mind at this moment, you can call us on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. And if you're out of town, it is toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you happen to be sitting at your computer, you can go to WPTF.com and live stream and join us on the show. Our hearts go out this evening in the news, Whitney Houston passed away. I don't know all the details, but it is very tragic. And someone mentioned to us about her wealth.
That disappeared.
Yes.
I don't remember the statistics even, but it just shocked me when I heard the numbers, how much money was accumulated and then disappeared and ended up with debt. But the real story there is, why didn't she have any financial planning? Why don't people who are in fields like that, athletes are a classic case, entertainers are others, ones that have a lot of money coming at them, you always ask yourself when they die without having a penny, what happened? How come they didn't have any real financial planning?
It's important. It's important to do financial planning. And here we are in the new year. And whatever your questions are, make sure you write them down. And if we can assist you, you can call us in Raleigh at 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000, or visit us at lfmadvisor.com.
Well, Deborah, I don't know if you happen to notice there was an article in the Wall Street Journal on taking your pension private. Did you see that?
I did. It began pointing out that if you're self-employed and in the top echelon of earners, there's a big potential retirement plan break that's available to you.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about this. Like, let's start with the basics, though. Take an IRA. Do you know what the rules are for what can you contribute to an IRA?
Well, you're going to be limited to $55,000 a year.
All right. So you can put away $5,000 a year, and that brings your taxes down a little bit. Then what about something a little higher?
Your 401k.
How about a 401k? How much can you put there?
It's going to depend on the plan and then whether or not they're going to match. And what is the limit on that?
It's going to be somewhere around $14,000 or $15,000 that you can put there.
Okay.
And then you get a little higher. And if you have different types of plans, did you see any of the other numbers there?
I did. Let's see here. You're going to have $50,000. If you wanted to go into a simple employee pension or
a SEP
IRA.
That's a SEP. And a lot of people use that as the maximum. Wow, if I could put aside $50,000 into my own retirement plan and maybe $50,000 for my wife, that's $100,000, we could knock our taxes down real big time. Well, that's about the extent of what anybody really knew until this notice came out. Now, we've known about these for a long time. These are defined benefit pension plans and their cash balance plans. But using these, high income earners, and there are some of our listeners and some of our clients that make $500,000, $1 million a year, people like that, using this type of pension plan can actually put aside over $200,000 a piece.
That's
husband
so
and wife.
Powerful.
It's really powerful. You can bring your taxes down dramatically. So this is a very neat little strategy. If you're out there listening and you think you qualify, call us at the office And we will show you how you can actually use this, possibly, depending on your situation, to bring your taxes down dramatically. I've actually seen some cases where people even were able to put aside $700,000. Oh, that's bringing your taxes down $250,000.
It really is. I think it said you first need to decide how much you want to pull away or put away each year in retirement.
Well, the short answer is that all retirement plans usually look at what you're going to contribute, and they start the mathematical computation starting on the front end. They're called defined contribution plans.
Okay. Right.
But this type of plan starts at the other end and uses an actuarial table to see what will be the benefit coming out on the rear end, and then lets you contribute on the front end an amount that's going to guarantee you get out that amount out on the rear end. And then, of course,
everything is spelled out, so to speak.
It's irreversible. You don't have any choices.
The others maybe spend around $1,200 to a few thousand to set it up, right?
Yeah, the administration. But when you're talking about large dollars like that, it's meaningless. Be able to save $200,000 or $300,000 in taxes, Linda. Doesn't that sound like a really attractive carrot?
It is attractive if you do have high income. So it is. A worthy pension plan to look at.
I liked the article. I really did. Okay, what do we have next?
Well, there was an article that was talking about the battle over brokers' duty to their clients. And this has just been in the news, topical, at least in financial industry magazines.
It's happening again and again and again. The story keeps coming up for regulatory control and then backs off. It boils down upon this word fiduciary, and fiduciary is a word that most people don't even know what it means, but on the other hand, the regulators know very much what it means, and the article and the regulators are trying to make the public aware that there is a difference between those people out there who are fiduciaries and those who are not fiduciaries.
And that distinction is large.
It is. And then the question comes, well, is the person you're dealing with a fiduciary? Well, first of all, what is a fiduciary?
Someone who is going to be legally responsible or liable.
Has to put the client's interests ahead of his own.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Linda. Fiduciary is a person who, by law, must put the client's interest before their own. And then there is this other standard called know your client rule or know your customer rule or suitable investments. Stockbrokers are not fiduciaries. So the article wanted to let you know that there are two standards, one for stockbrokers and one for advisors, and brokers are not fiduciaries. They must recommend what's called suitable products, not necessarily the best or the cheapest products. On the other hand, the advisors who are fiduciaries must put client's interest ahead of their own. And under the current rules, you know, a broker only has to make sure that such and such a product is suitable. He might be wanting to sell an annuity that comes with a nice high commission for him. On the other hand, an advisor who's regulated as a fiduciary, he would be required by law to recommend something less pricey if it was better for the client, whereas the broker would not. But you know, and that this standard is still being fought over. I mean, the regulators keep coming close to it, and then they back away and coming close to it. And there's a demand. There are five SEC commissioners, and they almost voted on changing the rules, and then they backed away from it. So there is still a battle raging, but I don't think the battle hits the total nut.
The kernel.
The kernel isn't really, that's part of it, yes. That's part of it. Fiduciary or not fiduciary. Broker or advisor. But it's a lot bigger confusion than that.
And what is the confusion?
Well, let's say that you are determined, that you have determined that the person you're dealing with is a fiduciary. Okay, let's take Joe's call. We've got Joe on hold first, and we'll come back to this because this is a topic that a lot of people really want to understand. Hey, Joe, this is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. How can I help you tonight? Hello?
CDs for their grandkids.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you. Do it again, Joe.
Sure. My parents, for their grandkids, have been buying CDs for the kids to invest. And I was curious if it would be better if they were...
Hey, Joe, do you have a radio on or something? I'm hearing a lot of echo.
No, it's just a cell phone.
Okay, all right. Let me try talking a little slower, and let me see. I heard you say something about your parents and CDs.
Right, for their grandchildren.
Yeah.
They've been buying CDs for the grandchildren.
Okay.
Would it be better... They're only getting, 1 or 2%. Would it be better if they had put that money into an IRA for the grandchildren? Instead of just getting a CD or a savings account?
Well, you can't put it into an IRA for the grandchildren if the children don't earn any money.
Right.
So
is there a better way to invest long-term for the grandchildren?
Absolutely. Absolutely. How old are the grandchildren?
They're high school and junior high.
Okay. Well, if we're talking about putting money aside for another, 5 years, 7 years...
Yeah, we're actually not worried about college. I was just trying to get them started
good.
Long term.
Yeah, well, then if we're even talking longer than that, the right. ideal situation would be to put them into UGMA or other types of containers and have mutual funds in them.
Okay.
The mutual funds, over the long term, certainly are going to have a potential for doing far more than the CD will. And, of course, the CD will never teach your children, their grandchildren, anything about risk.
Right, exactly.
And what you want them to understand as life goes on is that there is risk in everything.
Right.
Also, many of the mutual fund companies have very good educational material in their literature, in their marketing material, that you can then go ahead and let your children read. We do that for our clients in the office all the time. We get the key. We get the literature that the parents want to provide to their kids so they can start their kids solving the problem of financial illiteracy, which the parents have, because most parents are financial illiterates, which
right.
means their kids are financial illiterates, right?
Right. But with the UGMA, when they're 18, the kids could, we're concerned about access to the money.
Well, you're very, well, I'm glad.
Blow it up.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So if we don't like a UGMA, and you're right, very often I recommend against the UGMA. Sometimes we'll do a UTMA account. That moves it up to age 21.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll go ahead and put it into, a trust account. And
okay.
And sometimes we'll put it into a jointly owned account where the kids get copies of statements, but it's in the parents' name.
Uh-huh.
But there are a number of ways to do it, but my short answer is I absolutely agree with you. They should not be putting money aside for CDs for the children. They're not learning anything.
Right, okay.
And if you call my office, I can give you some more specific answers. Maybe even set up a time to get together with you and show you the kinds of things that we've done for other clients in similar situations.
Definitely. Okay, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome,
you for calling,
Joe.
And that number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000. And you can visit our website as well, which is lfmadvisor.com. All right, well, you're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got a question, call us right now on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. Out of towners, it is toll free at 1-800-662-7979.
Okay, Lynn, we were talking right before his call came in on how do you determine what is the status of the person you're dealing with. And, of course, the SEC and FINRA have both brought this issue to the public, but they haven't solved it. And the first dividing line is between brokers and registered investment advisors. Brokers are not required to put the interest of the client ahead of themselves. A registered investment advisor is. So that's the first thing to find out, is the person you're dealing with a registered investment advisor, also called an RIA. And that's very easy to find out. How do you find that out, Debs?
The ADV.
Exactly. Why don't you tell our listeners what the ADV is?
Okay, it's the form, the advisory form, stands for advisor, and it's what you file as a financial advisor with the SEC, and it will give your history and tell about what kind of services you offer. It will talk about what you provide for clients, and it'll distinguish whether or not you are a financial planner or a full-fledged advisor.
Yeah, the ADV, the ADV is the starting point, because the ADV, the form ADV, is required of every registered investment advisor, and it is not required of brokers. And the form ADV is required of registered investment advisors because they are fiduciaries.
It tells what your background is, your experience,
your fees, your services.
Your experience.
All right, but that's the beginning point now. Okay, and this is what I said. It doesn't hit the article didn't hit the bullseye, because once you've determined that you're dealing with an RIA, an investment advisor, now you need to find out, is this person a money manager or a true financial planner, a person who is giving you advice? Because many RIAs are not in the business of selling advice. They are simply money managers. And so the way you find
assets under management.
Yes. And the way you find that question, to get the answer to that question, Linda, is you ask, do you take control of my money or not? Are you going to go ahead? You know, many people call themselves fee-only financial planners. It's sort of a cute term out there now. It really is a term used by money managers who have you sign a power of attorney in which they take control of your money. They are required to go ahead and act on your behalf in your best interest, but they're really buying and selling without you being involved. And that may not be what you want. So that's the question. Are you going to take control or not control of my money? Another question.
Is that what you call discretion?
It is discretionary account. Am I giving up discretion over to you, my money manager? And then the next question is, do you sell wrap accounts? Many of these fee-only planners are actually putting money in what's called wrap accounts. And wrap accounts are accounts where mutual funds are wrapped with one fee platform, and it's very expensive. Very expensive. I don't think wrap accounts are a very prudent way to go into your financial planning. And then the last question to find out is, what are you going to be charging me for? Are you charging me for advice by the hour? If I want to talk about my taxes, if I want to talk about my mortgage, if I want to talk about all the financial advice that you want, are you going to be charging me for
cash flow, estate planning, investment advice?
Right. Or are you just going to be charging me for money management? So that's the issue, I think, that's out there. It hasn't been solved, but it's a big problem. And at least the regulators keep bringing it to the public. Well, and as Deborah said, the articles are hitting the financial presses almost weekly now.
And this was a Smart Money report. And as you said, Doug, the issue is still there. And it hasn't been solved, but it's something that will be revisited again and again. Now, along with that, Doug, I saw another article about managing your finances and learning the ABCs of senior specialists.
You know, Lynn, I think it was a year ago you and I started bringing this to the public's attention, the alphabet soup that's out there, and especially for seniors seeking financial guidance. The string of abbreviations that are coming after people's names now on business cards can look very impressive. But FINRA, which is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, just a few months ago in November issued a regulatory notice, an alert, because, you know, you can have all kinds of designations aimed at seniors: chartered advisor for senior living, chartered senior financial planner. They seem very, very impressive. But the alert that came out by FINRA had some very disturbing news for older investors. And I think the one statement that I liked the most was from Wisconsin Security Administrator. She said there doesn't seem to be very much monitoring by firms about these labels that people use. They're more marketing labels, these initials after people's names. And as an investor, you're really on your own to avoid being taken for a ride.
I think that is the most disturbing part, is that if the person's just getting the designation or using the credential or using the designation as a marketing tool, then you're not going to be any more benefited. You're not going to be speaking to someone who is more knowledgeable than perhaps the next person.
Well, you know, you take a couple of them. Take the gold standard, the certified financial planner, which is what I have, and it is the highest designation there is. All right. Here you're talking about 18 semester credit hours. You're talking about a 10-hour examination. It's very, very, it's a brutal type of examination and designation to achieve. And of course, I got mine, I don't know, 20 years ago now. But compare that to something like the Certified Senior Advisor designation, which is a weekend course with 150 question multiple choice answer. I mean, when Massachusetts Secretary of State William Galvin, when he investigated that one, he said, this is really just a plain old marketing tool. And so you have to go ahead and see what is out there now. There's an attempt to confuse the public, and a lot of our seniors are being hit with this. The best thing to do, as Deborah said earlier, is look for the form ADV. That form ADV, ask for it, have it sent to you, and then you'll know an awful lot more, especially if you know the questions to ask afterwards.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF and WPTF.com. If you've got a question, call us right now on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. And out of towners, it is toll free at 1-800-662-7979. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis, and we're taking your calls at 680 WPTF. So if you've got a question, call us at 860-9783. If you're out of town, it is toll free at 1-800-662-7979. Cellular callers, it is star 680. Doug, what's new in the world of investment planning?
Maybe you've asked, if I already have a stockbroker, insurance agent, accountant, and attorney, why do I still need a certified financial planner? Basically, there are five important reasons why you need one, or five important things a certified financial planner can do for you. Number one, asset allocation and portfolio management. A certified financial planner has the specific training to pull investment assets together into an organized plan to achieve a client's future financial objectives. Two, risk management or insurance coverages. When does one really need to purchase disability, life, property, and casualty insurance? These are all separate issues, and a certified financial planner can identify an individual's or a business's immediate and future needs for risk management. Number three, tax planning. A certified financial planner can prepare tax strategies for the oversheltered, the undersheltered, or the pre-retiree when a tax situation becomes complex. Number four, retirement and estate planning. A certified financial planner can perform spreadsheet applications for future retirement planning or have the tax knowledge needed when performing estate tax planning for family heirs. Number five, planning for professionals or small business owners. Should my business be formed as a corporation or as a partnership? How much personal liability is involved in operating my business? Again, a certified financial planner can steer you through business continuity issues or give advice when integrating the finances of the company and the business owner. Other good reasons you might need a certified financial planner? To plan for college costs, gifting strategies for tax relief, planning for nursing home costs for you or your parents. Recent history has established a track record of an unpredictable Wall Street, complex tax laws, and an onslaught of different financial vehicles. A certified financial planner is skilled in identifying an individual's goals and helping develop, implement, and monitor a plan to achieve them. You need a certified financial planner because a financial future is at stake, and it's yours. If you've been wondering about why you need a certified financial planner, I hope my comments have helped. Seek competent financial advice, and if you have any financial questions, call me at 872-7000. That's 872-7000. And remember, your financial future is at stake.
Well, Doug, this week in the news, there was a new rule that Congress is looking at for inherited IRAs. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was a surprise, actually, Linda. It was attached to another bill, part of a highway funding bill, but it was a surprise proposal put before Congress to drum up tax revenues from inherited IRAs. And it's raising a lot of eyebrows in the financial planning community. Basically, what's known as inherited IRAs, also called stretch IRAs, may be under attack.
So basically, what is it?
What's a stretch IRA?
What's a stretch IRA? Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's say, you know, if a husband dies, he can, what happens to his IRA? Let's say he's got $500,000 in an IRA and he's married. Well, what's the normal option there?
It would be inherited by his wife.
And so does she pay tax?
No.
Because?
Because she's the beneficiary.
It's going to be put into hers, rolled into hers.
It's called rollover. It's rolled over and it qualifies for a tax-free rollover. Exactly.
Right.
However, suppose it goes to a child or both the husband and the wife die or there is no spouse.
Okay, then it's going to be inherited and now you're going to have to pay tax.
Well, it's not necessarily inherited exactly.
Okay.
All right, that's the whole issue. If the beneficiary of the IRA is not the spouse, it's a child.
All right.
Then the child doesn't get the spousal privilege and must go ahead and receive it. Now, if you receive $500,000 from an IRA, it's like having $500,000 bonus check given to you this year. It's going to cost you maybe $150,000 in taxes.
It is.
On the other hand, there is the way to go ahead and say, I don't want it. You can possibly, in some situations, take it as an inherited IRA or stretch IRA. Now, let's say that you inherit an IRA and you want to stretch it across your life expectancy, meaning the assets would continue to increase in value while they're in the IRA, tax deferred for decades, while you just withdraw a tiny amount each year, which means the income tax is only going to be small because the income tax is on the distribution that comes out of the IRA.
As it comes out, it's being paid. Right.
So if you qualify for a stretch IRA, that means you can opt not to take it, but to let it come out over the life expectancy of you. And if you are a young person, say 40 years old.
Or if you're 10 years old, if you have a 10-year-old grandchild.
Oh, wow. Then you can stretch it out over that person, that child, grandchild's life.
But let
anyway,
me ask you,
that's the stretch IRA. But the strategy which is being used is really very powerful because you're able to keep the stuff in the IRA, in the stretch IRA, still growing. And if it's invested and it's growing well, it's growing faster than what's coming out. Whereas if you're 70 years old and you're taking it out over your lifetime, what's called the required minimum distribution, now the growth has to be very strong to be greater than the required withdrawal. Anyway, this stretch IRA provision, which is still there, is under attack. Now, it hasn't passed. It's a proposal, but it's being looked at carefully as a way of raising money. And even if it doesn't pass, it could get clipped down the road. You know, it could happen.
So does the person who receives, let's say the child of the two parents who have died, and so they've inherited this IRA, do they receive the IRA and then they're now have to make a decision as to how they're going to receive?
Okay. No, and that's the whole thing. You have to opt for it at that time.
Okay.
You have to let it be an inherited IRA at that time. You can't go ahead and say, well, I think I'll change it to an inherited IRA. So it stays an IRA in the name of the deceased.
Okay, all right. So you don't really have it as your own possession.
You do and you don't.
You do and you don't. Okay.
You haven't taken possession of it, but it's in a custodial account, just like an IRA was before of the deceased.
Right. Okay.
But the amount that's coming out is based upon your life expectancy. You're stretching it.
Okay. So you can see the benefit of it.
Oh, it's powerful.
You don't need the money to live off of, especially. You could leave it in there just.
Yeah, just take that young grandchild who's only 10 years old. You might be stretching it over 73 years.
And so, all that growth?
Yeah. So, but it's a great way, if Congress does away with this, you can see how it's a great way to raise a lot of money now because the taxes are going to be paid.
Right.
What they're asking for, the proposal is 5 years maximum.
Okay.
Get it out in 5 years.
Okay. And so that's designed to give more money, government tax dollars.
Right.
Right, because it's untaxed at this point.
So That was that was news. It's hit the press. It may be coming back up again this year.
You know, on another note, many of our seniors, and for those of you that are 70 and a half or approaching, to our listeners, sometimes they find that they don't need the money that's coming out.
Right.
You know, they're getting Social Security, and maybe they got a part-time job, or maybe they're still working. And the dilemma is, I'm going to be getting more income. I'm going to be taxed more.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it true, Doug, that some of our clients, they do a pay-yourself first plan? Where
what you do, yeah, Lynn, if you've got to go ahead and take a required minimum distribution from an IRA because of tax rules, then you can do automatic investing back into your own portfolio and dollar cost average back in, not into the IRA portfolio,
right,
but into the other one.
Into
and it's the
personal.
That's right. It's the equivalent of pay yourself first investing. And it's very powerful because you're able to go ahead and really move it from one bucket to the other. And most of the time that's commission free. So it's a very nice strategy. Cash flow planning is where it begins. Real financial planning has to start with what are the cash flow needs of the client and then work from there.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF and WPTF.com. And you can call us right now if you've got a question about your retirement plan or your required minimum distributions, estate planning, or investment planning. Call us on the open lines at 860-WPTF. That's 860-9783. And toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And I believe we have another caller.
Hi, Kate. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. How can I help you?
We have been talking to a financial planner, and he has suggested a variable annuity to supplement some of our other retirement investments.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know what your opinion of that kind of an investment is.
Tell me a little bit about your situation, and maybe I can fine-tune my answer.
Okay.
How old are you?
59.
You're 59 years old. Are you married or single?
Married.
Married. What's your income?
About nine. Well, now it's very much lower than it used to be. It's about $65,000 a year now.
And that's coming from the husband or the wife?
The husband.
That's coming from the husband. Is the wife getting does she bring any income in?
Very small amount.
All right. Now, the wife or the husband, who's 59?
I am.
The wife is 59. How old is the husband?
61.
Husband's 61.
And he will be fully retired when he reaches 62.
All right. So his income is going to drop next year?
Yes.
All right. Now, looking at retirement income, well, first of all, let
me back up. He's partially retired now, which is why his income has already dropped.
All right.
But actually, his income should increase when he's totally retired because of the investments we have.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that next.
Okay.
But I want to know about the guaranteed income.
Uh-huh.
From his pension, and is he going to take early Social Security, or what's he going to do?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the estimated guaranteed income could be next year when he's 62?
I only think in after-tax terms.
Okay.
So that's what I'll give you.
All right.
It's about $50,000 a year.
All right. So it could be about $50,000 guaranteed. And then what are your living expenses on an annual basis? I imagine the financial planner went over that in depth with you.
You know what?
What?
I don't know the answer to that question. I could do it, but I'd hold you on the phone.
Well, I mean, when you met with your financial planner, didn't you spend a lot of time going over your expenses?
No, we didn't.
Then you didn't meet with a financial planner.
Okay.
No, you must have met with a salesperson.
Well, actually, it was a salesperson.
Okay.
He's the one who's trying to sell this.
Well, we want to be very careful about definitions. You see, we want to find out. A financial planner plans,
uh-huh.
and a true financial planner, a certified financial planner who is charging you a fee for the time you're spending there with them, whether it's an hourly fee or a fixed fee, which is the only kind that you should be seeing, by the way, that kind of planner should start with your living expense needs and then back into the kinds of questions.
Our number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000.
For the moment, let's assume that your expenses are $50,000 a year.
Well, they're not, but anyway, we'll assume that for this exercise.
Right. Most people underestimate their expenses. You have to build in there your desired number of travel expenses. That many people travel more after they retire. Gifts to the children, clothing, all the other things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're saying that you're absolutely sure that his pension and Social Security is going to cover your lifestyle with all the luxuries that you may or may not want, then you don't need to touch any investment income. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the case, let's go over to the investments. What do your investments look like right now?
Well, our investments look very good.
No, I mean, what are they?
Oh, what are they? They're bonds, mutual funds.
All right. How much do you have in bonds?
I'm just looking here because I've got all that written out. In bonds,
mm-hmm.
We've got $85,000 in one bond fund. We have about $500,000.
And what else do you have? Is that the majority of your portfolio?
No, we've got another $59,000. We have two IRAs. One's $82,000, the other's $49,000.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other stock investments that are around $300,000 in various stocks. And then my husband's profit sharing, which he owns his own company,
mm-hmm.
at this point is $310,000.
All right, you've got a rather complicated situation when the numbers start building up, and you've got a terrible portfolio. I don't like it personally. Okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the air going through each of the items, but overall, it looks to me like my real question is, why are you going for a variable annuity? Because a variable annuity, although it will let you defer paying tax on the growth, it's going to also be taxable in your estate at the time that you die, and there'll be no step up in basis.
Okay.
So
well, that's, I mean, we're considering it, but that's why I was calling for your opinion too.
Annuities. You understand a variable annuity is an insurance contract,
right?
By the way, which one are you looking at?
I'd rather not go into that.
Because that's the crucial issue. You see, a variable annuity is an insurance contract that wraps around mutual funds. So it's the funds themselves that are the most important part, not the insurance contract.
Mm-hmm.
Annuities are insurance contracts that work sort of like a non-deductible IRA. You can put in as much as you want, but taxes are deferred until you take it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're 59, so you don't have to worry about the 59 penalty. You can start taking money out when you want. But you're paying a charge for an annuity.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike a fixed annuity, which guarantees a conservative rate of return, a variable annuity lets you pick your own investments from the different menu of mutual funds, but your return is going to vary according, you know, to the fund's performance.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance portion of that variable annuity guarantees that if you die before you start withdrawing the money, then your beneficiaries are going to receive all that you put in, but they will pay tax on the increase.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to if you have a $500,000, how much are you going to put into the variable annuity? What were you thinking of putting in?
$250,000.
Okay, so you put in $250,000, and since you're only 59 years old, you're a relatively young woman, you live another 35 years, and it grows to be $2 million. Well, if you had $250,000 in a mutual fund that grew to be $1 million, let's say, or $2 million, and you then died, they would get that amount. They could sell that $2 million and pay no capital gains tax.
I think I need to call you off the air.
I appreciate the sensitivity of trying to be specific when confidentiality sometimes is very important to people. But I hope that gives you at least something to start with.
It does.
Yeah, and you know, Kate, we're real happy that you and your husband, you know, I'm sure you're hardworking people. You've accumulated these assets. You've been blessed. But you want to have some direction, right?
Right.
So that, you know, whatever his exit strategy is from the business. And, of course, when you all decide you're not going to be working.
That's next year.
You know what I mean? When you wanted to just be retired and travel and do the things that interest you at this stage of your life, that you'll be able to do it with ease.
Mm-hmm.
And working with a financial planner, and particularly a certified financial planner that's fee-based, can assist you in helping you and your husband get that direction. Yeah, Kate, if you'll call the office, I'll be happy to go through that in detail.
Uh-huh.
That number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's USA 7000.
Okay.
Bye now.
And visit our website, lfmadvisor.com.
Well, you know, she really, I'm just thinking of her numbers.
With over $1.4 million in investable assets, you just wonder, why did somebody throw an annuity at her as a, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, does it?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And aren't there a whole type of new types of variable annuities that are coming out?
You know, Deborah, there are sales of variable annuities with income guarantees now, which are booming, and retirees are being attracted to them because they're marketing to retirees at a tremendous, tremendous sort of impact. But these products can be very complex, and exorbitant fees can easily consume the generous sounding guarantees that they're marketed with. Now, some of the annuities that I'm hearing coming out are being thrown at the public, like saying you can get in without paying a commission to this type of annuity. And the fees.
This was a report, wasn't it? By Kiplinger.
Well, they are. Well, I don't know if it was Kiplinger, but I know that there are a number of different types of annuities that are indeed being marketed now by some name brand product sponsors. Still, the fees are, annuity products generally have fees as high as 4% a year, in very high fees tacked inside, and you never see those. Well, these new ones now are down to maybe 1.5% per year. But still, why are you investing in it? And then what's also to my disdain about these products are the type of investments that are inside this insurance wrapper. An annuity is an insurance wrapper wrapping mutual funds. Well, they're very limited. The ones I've seen, maybe 60% stocks, 40% bonds, or a couple of index funds. And they come out with all sorts of little twists on them. No surrender charge. But still, the annuity itself is not designed for people who it's being marketed to. An annuity, in my opinion, should be an immediate annuity guaranteeing you a monthly check like a pension, and you're willing to give up the principal, and that's what you understand. That's what an annuity is. But payouts designed for retirees who want to delay their payments for 5 years or more, that doesn't work in these kinds of products. So,
well, it's
the whole
important
annuity story is really, I mean, it's a shame that they're going out to the seniors so much right now.
Well, the product is being sold with various different terms.
Yeah, it's called selling the sizzle, not the steak.
But the important thing is you have to look at what are the choices within that annuity.
Well, isn't it first and foremost an insurance product?
That's what it is.
So if the insurance product itself is not what you're interested in, and you do need the annuity feature, then that's where it becomes something that you might be truly benefited by.
Yeah, if you want an investment, then you don't want an annuity.
Right. If you want something to wait, if you want the mutual fund product inside of it, then just get the mutual fund product.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't pay for.
That's why I say the annuities are sold what we call selling the sizzle, not the steak.
Okay, yeah.
It smells nice, but where's the beef?
Right.
And if there's a need for the product, understand what you're getting into.
Exactly.
That's the most important
thing.
For
some people,
how does it fit in the total portfolio? Is it necessary? What are the terms of the contract? And the most important thing is, if something happens to you, can you pass on the asset to your heirs? Right, Doug?
Actually, you usually can't. Once you've annuitized an annuity, it's over unless you've chosen a reduced option payout.
And I think that's what she means, is you need to know that going
into
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda. And
well, there is so much good news out there right now, Linda. I am just surprised to see the investment world this year. 2012 is going to be a very nice year. It's a year to make some changes in your financial life, realizing financial futures are at stake, and those that take advantage will look back, I think, on 2012 as being a very good year.
Get your checklist ready. And address your financial planning.
That's right.
Yeah, and get ready for your taxes, too.
That's right. And I think next week we should cover something on taxes.
All right. Maybe we'll do that.
We'll do that.
Maybe we'll do that.
We'll have a wonderful week.
Yes, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug and Linda in Raleigh at 872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Sunday at 6:05 for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on 680 WPTF.